All right, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. Also, what does it take to start from zero to multi-million dollar company?
It's Mauricio Mejia live. Entertainment guru, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author, and speaker. It's Mauricio Mejia live.
All right, welcome to Mauricio Mejia, season number 3, episode number 9. Wow, we've gotten this far. Got to give a big shout out to the team for making this all a reality. Thank you to my team and to everyone that's been out there supporting Mauricio Mejia Live, season 3. Today, I have the honor and pleasure of introducing not only another entrepreneur, another Latino entrepreneur, but a friend, someone that I've known now for, close to 5, 6, 7 years now.
Yeah.
And we have shared similarities in upbringing and what it takes to build a company from nothing to, we'll see how far deep we're going to get into this and how high we've gone up that ladder. But it's my honor and my pleasure to introduce Ruben Resendez, CEO, entrepreneur, Adhere, and maybe other companies that I don't know. We haven't seen each other for some time, so I'm excited to looking forward to today's conversation. But Ruben, welcome! Thank you for making the time and being here today. I know you got a busy schedule. By the way, congratulations!
Yeah, thank you.
You got married this past year, 2023, correct?
Maybe only about 4 months ago so far, and it's been quite a journey. We've been all over the place, and I actually met my wife through you.
Oh boy.
A little bit.
Whoa. It's no. Wild. Yeah. Well, I'll take credit because you seem happy, but all right. This is going to be a happy story.
So we had met, you owned a bar previously before.
Okay.
Patricio's.
San Patricio's, yes.
And then we were invited to a holiday party there.
Man, you're
there.
Taking, you're
supposedly
taking me,
a holiday taking
me
party
down
there.
A different road. All right.
So
yes.
That's how the connection goes into there. But I got to say, that was quite a while ago. That was over 5 years ago, six years ago. We said, we'd known each other for a little bit over 7 years from there.
Yeah.
I just got to say that I am proud of you.
Wow.
I am proud of
the
perseverance you have had throughout all the challenges. And I know many of the challenges that you've went through.
Yeah.
And there's many more that you've went through even since then.
Crazy.
But you've continued to persist.
Yes.
And you continue to do what you do. Like when I came in here, I said, my wife and I have been talking about doing a podcast for a long time.
Yeah.
But a lot of people talk, but there's very few people that do. You actually do.
Yeah.
You said, hey, we're going to start a podcast. We're going to start a podcast room over here in the office and get it all started and everything. You actually did it.
Yeah.
So I just got to congratulate you.
We did it. And thank you. Yes.
It's a huge honor to be on right now. And I just got to say, it's amazing what you have done and what you've persevered through. And I just got to say, it's just the very beginning.
Thank you. Just the very
beginning for you.
I appreciate that, Ruben. We're friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we're going to be here and we're going to have an open conversation like friends do, and at the same time share some business experiences, some battle wounds of not only just in business, but in life. And before we go any further, the only reason why this has happened today is because we built a team. Mm. I got to give a big shout out, Janine Escobar. She's my producer, but she's also the creator and the visionary of what we have here today. So you can't do anything without a team.
That's
and
right.
You know that. And
that's
and,
right.
And that's going to be part of our conversation as we move forward, that we have similar backgrounds, man.
Mm-hmm.
One, we're both male.
Yeah.
That's a good part, right?
Last
time I checked, right? Number two, Latinos. I grew up in Southern California. You grew up here in Northern California.
Mm.
We've had some tough upbringings. I know I grew up with a single mom. I don't quite remember what your situation was, if you had both parents or one parent, but I know it was rough.
That's right.
It was rough. And then we had another similarity where we went from being homeless and on the street to knowing what it's like to go to bed hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, and I get emotional on that one. And then what it's like to make the first million and then get into the multi-millions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive right into it, man. Give us a little background. Give us some history. And we got plenty of time here, man. This is our time together, and I want to enjoy it. And again, I want to share with the world that if you and I can do it.
That's right.
With, I don't want to say any formal education or any formal training other than our perseverance and our resilience and our heart to be successful, that if we can do it, everyone else out there can do it too. There's no excuses. And anyone that makes excuses is just because they haven't found their purpose yet.
Yep. That's 100% right there. That is 100%.
Interview's over now.
Yeah, that's it. We're done. We're done. Man, I could hop into so much of what you said right there. But
pick anywhere in your timeline. I've always loved the fact that you can talk about where you've been, like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Not even break a tear. And I know that it's got to hurt inside.
That really is the truth right there, because my whole entire mission is inspire others to elevate their lives.
That's right.
That's why I feel that I've been put onto this earth. Now, I didn't know that all along throughout life. I always thought like all these things were happening to me that, I was a single dad. I dropped out of college, had a kid out of wedlock, went on food stamps, had to move back in with my parents in my parents' house in my early 30s. All of that stuff, I thought, like, man, why does this have to happen to me? Even growing up in high school, I was always thinking that, all those successful people that I see out there, it's because they have a certain last name. Their last name is X, Y, and Z. But my last name is Resendez.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in my family has ever been an entrepreneur. Nobody in my family's ever been successful. Nobody in my family's ever graduated college or went to college. Mm. Nobody in my family's ever done that. So I never grew up seeing that. So I always thought in high school that whatever my parents did and whatever I saw them do, that was my path. I thought success is all genetics. It's all because of family lines. It's all because of how they grew up, and they grew up in it. So that it was given to them. And that's really how I thought. And there's probably kids out there right now and even adults that still think that.
Absolutely.
And I want them to look at me and say, if this idiot can do something with his life, then I think I can do something with my life. Yeah. So that's my whole entire mission. And, you know, it took a long time for me to really embrace that, to say, like, you know, I was really embarrassed that I was a single dad, that I had a kid out of wedlock, because, you know, I grew up in a family where we went to church every Sunday and my dad was in church all the time. And I guess to go into my upbringing, that in growing up, I really didn't see my mom very much because my mom worked graveyard just so she could make an extra $2 an hour. So she would be sleeping during the day. And then at nighttime, she would go to work. And then my dad would work throughout the whole entire day. So I would be at my grandma's house majority of the time. And then my dad would come and pick me up a little bit later. We lived on a lot of frozen foods.
Elita raised you though too, right?
She absolutely did.
You got to give credit to grandma.
And my grandpa too.
Oh, nice.
What I learned from my grandpa is he worked 3 jobs while raising 8 kids.
Wow.
And in being able to do that, I learned work ethic. I learned he did it in a blue collar way. And I said, you know what? If he could do it in a blue collar way, I think I could do it in a white collar way. So literally on my desk in front of my laptop, I have a picture of him and I where we went fishing one day and I had caught a catfish in Lake Cunningham over on the east side of San Jose, because that's where I grew up, on the east side of San Jose, which most people would say is like the wrong side of the tracks. But
depends who says it, right?
Yeah. It depends on who says it
at
that point. But I didn't know it was the wrong side of the tracks at that time. And even going to high school, I thought it was normal to have a daycare center on campus because I went to a high school named Mount Pleasant. They called it Mount Pregnant at the time.
God. I've heard that a couple of times. That's interesting. Okay, so yeah.
But they called it Mount Pregnant because all the kids were having kids.
Wow.
And they had a daycare center on campus for the kids that were having kids. And I thought that was normal until I grew up and I graduated high school. And I was asking some friends that I made outside of high school, so how was your daycare center? And they said, daycare center in high school? Daycare center. And they looked at me like weird.
Yeah.
And I said, you guys don't have a daycare center in your high school? You didn't have a daycare center? No. Why would we need a daycare center?
Wow.
So in reality, I was starting to go down the path of being a statistic. And I went to De Anza College for like 4 years, transferred to San Jose State eventually after doing a lot of drugs, dropping all my classes and everything too. And then I got introduced to a financial services firm that introduced me to the world of personal development.
Wow.
And the world of personal development introduced me to books like Think and Grow Rich, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And then I started reading autobiographies of people who have grew up with even less than I grew up with that have made huge successes that you hear about today. And I said, man, if they can do it, then I can do it too. So then that started inspiring me in such a way that that's what started my entrepreneur journey. But before that, I didn't even know what the word even entrepreneur even meant.
How old were you when your entrepreneurial spirit was woken up?
It was about 22 years old.
So I remember when my spirit was woken up and I was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I've shared this with in the past is that growing up poor or having not not being as whatever label they want to put it, right? I didn't have the cool shoes or the cool clothes. And I think that that's what triggered me, was seeing the pain of my mom. Mm. She had to work long hours to provide a roof and food over food on the table and a roof over our head. And one day I decided that I needed to take action, right? And it goes back to my roots, right? I made a decision at a young age. I committed to that decision. Now, I didn't know what I was going to eventually develop something out of that, but I made a decision. I committed to my decision, and then I executed on the decision. And I decided that I needed to take some action in my life because and as a kid, I was just like, no way. There's got to be more in life. There's got to be more in life. This cannot be it, especially if I'm seeing other kids and other families have it, right? Like, you're looking at it through your lenses and you're saying, like, you thought it was genetics or you thought it was surnames. You thought it was, you know, we were finding all these bullshit reasons of why it's not us until something clicks. We waken up and then we take action.
That's right.
And for me, yeah, man, it's again, we run parallels. I mean, we were on welfare. We depended on the free whatever we got, right? Because in order to survive. But I think that the all of that was just helping brew the inside, the spirit, the inner, just whatever fire it was. It was just fueling that fire to eventually where I had someone that said to me, son, you got an entrepreneurial spirit. And I was like, I'm 15 years old. I'm like, what's an entrepreneurial spirit? So just continue doing what you're doing, and you will be a very successful. You will be a successful person, and when you grow up, okay, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And then entrepreneurial just bling, just clicked on. And then as I started learning, I started hearing, right, because you start paying attention, you start honing into certain words, and entrepreneur, business owner, blah blah blah. And I'm like, oh, that's what. You mean the guy that doesn't have a boss? Oh, he's the boss, the entrepreneur. I wanted to be the boss. So
that's huge right there. Because everybody's got a switch of when it turned on.
Yeah.
And that was my switch right there, when I got introduced to the word and what it really meant to be an entrepreneur. And I think we get glimpses of our future here and there. We get little glimpses here and there of what our future looks like. And there's a reason for that. But you got to know that
deep.
It's the reason.
That's deep.
You got to know.
That's deep. Because I know exactly what you're talking about.
The sad part is that a majority of people get those glimpses too, but they don't do anything about it. Like you said, decide, commit, and execute.
Yeah.
They don't do anything about it, and they don't seek it out. And they start letting the doubts and the fears creep into their mind. And sure, even you have doubts and fears.
Absolutely.
And Absolutely. A lot of different things that go in. But you got to be mentally tough and knowing
That's
to
right.
say, hey, you got to shut up.
Yeah.
And you got to tell yourself, like, shut up. That's not me.
Right.
I am a positive person.
That's
I know
right.
who I am. Oof. I am doing great things, and I know exactly where I'm
We're
going.
We're on the Ruben Resendez podcast right now, man. This is good stuff. I love it. No, because you're hitting it right on the money. Even to today, I'm surrounded by great people. Ruben, I mean, I got people like Tony, Mark, Gary, Jeff. I mean, these guys are changing the cityscape of Silicon Valley. I got these people that are just pouring into me. I'm blessed. The people that I was around 5 years ago, they're nowhere to be found because as we scale, so does our surroundings, right? We become who we surround ourselves with.
Over the past few years, I've been noticing that so much more and so much prevalent. Where it's like previously before, I used to seek out those that were just great at business.
Yes.
And they were great at business, doing amazing revenues and everything, the revenues that I wanted to make. But then I would find out that their family life is in shambles. Oof. I find out that they're not great with their kids.
That's right.
And I started looking at that
vices.
A little bit more.
They got vices.
And behind closed doors, they still have so many challenges and dealing with so many demons inside too. And of course, all of us do and deal with that, but all of us deal with it in a different way. So I started seeking out mentors that are not great, not just great at business, but then great in their family life, great with their kids. I want to be a great dad to my kids. I want to be the most amazing dad to my kids. I want to be a great husband to my wife. So I seek out mentors that are great husbands that have great long-lasting marriages too, because that's the marriage that I want. I want to be able to do it all, because the person that doesn't have that, that's the person that's going to say it's not possible. No, you either have one or the other. Of course, yeah. It's going to be out of balance. Like, no, yes. You either have a strong marriage or a strong business. Like, no,
yeah.
I know friends and they have it all.
Yes.
I can have it all too.
Interesting you say that. We're going to go down that path really quick because I respect and I have admiration for couples, mm-hmm. strong couples that can have the conversations, that can have the relationship, and that have that unity, right? That, and I've seen that. We have mutual friends that are in those types of relationships. For me, I don't want to say that I've gotten comfortable because I've been single for a very long time. Like, mm-hmm. like it's official single. My background also being in the entertainment industry for so many years, it just was not my thing. But there's moments where you try to find that balance. And there's moments where you're laying in bed and you're by yourself and you're like, damn, it would be nice, right? And then I'm like, and then I start thinking of the negatives. I'm like, oh, yep. Hell no, I'm going to hug yep. my pillow right
All
now.
All the risk involved. I'm going to worry about somebody else.
Yeah, I'm going to fall asleep. And then when I wake up in a couple of hours, it's gone, that fantasy. But I love what you just shared because you're right. You got to seek it. And then when you seek it, you will find it, right?
That's right.
And I've always been great at business and just horrible on the personal side of my life because, man, I'm not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have three beautiful children,
mm-hmm.
I have three beautiful sons, my oldest being 19 and my youngest being 7. It's refreshing because sometimes it just says, okay, maybe I need to turn on that radar, that little switch in me, right? Just like the entrepreneurial spirit turned on. Maybe I need to turn that thing on
mm-hmm.
and then need to start sending it out, manifesting to the universe that, hey, the right person will come.
That's right.
Because I'm open and ready for it.
Yeah, 100%. And it's all about what we tell ourselves yeah. on what's good and what's not good for us. Where yeah. if we're telling ourselves more that, hey, being with somebody is a lot worse and it's a lot more work than it is with being with somebody,
yeah.
then we start surrounding ourselves with all the other people of like couples and happy couples with happy marriages.
Yeah, I got too many happy couples around yeah. me. I'm like, fuck, I walk in and everybody starts asking me all the crazy.
Yep.
So they're living vicariously through me and I'm like, well, because I don't want to know their stuff, right? I'm like, you don't look too happy or I hear this the horror stories, right?
And yep.
you're like, that's where you're like, where's the balance?
That's right.
You have so much of one, but the other side is not balanced.
Yep. And then you start thinking that's the way that the world
and
works,
that's exactly
and that's the way that marriage works, that's the way that couples work. But then you start seeking out other couples that are like happily married and they got great businesses and are thriving and they've been married for over 30 years and they're still keeping it spicy and everything and you're around yeah. them all the time and you're like, that's the vision that I want because growing up, I didn't see that vision. I mean, yeah. the vision, even my aunts and uncles even today are like, oh, the old ball and chain. They're like, man, you make marriage seem and being a couple seem like it's boring and yeah. like it's a duty and work. But then we start getting around couples where they're so excited they can't keep their hands off each other. They're in their 50s and they've been married for over 30 years and yeah. everything are like, man, and they're just like love hanging out with each other all the yeah. time. So we're
it's
hanging
like,
out with more couples.
Already, guys. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, get a room.
And I love that. I was like, that's how I want my marriage to be 30 nice. Years from now. That's how I want to be as a couple. And the more that we surround ourselves with that, because just like how you said, before meeting my wife, I was just working 7 days a week,
yeah.
nonstop.
Yeah.
Nonstop, 7 days a week. You couldn't pull me out of it.
And you built an empire.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing company here. Give us a little background on that. And 5 years ago with the last conversation, man, you were hitting some big numbers, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you're still hitting some big numbers and that thing has only grown.
Yep.
Share with us what was the inspiration of building that company? And aside, the entrepreneurial spirit was already woken, but what triggered you to go there?
That's right.
We go back to mental toughness. And I got to give mental toughness credit. That term, mental toughness, I got to give it to Eric Olson.
Yeah.
Again, eventually I'm going to have him here on the show because I want to share his story. Good friend of ours, and he taught us, he shared and taught mental toughness.
That's right. He's the one that introduced me to entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I've known him for over 30 years. We've grown up together before we were teenagers and everything too. And he introduced me to entrepreneurship because he introduced me to the financial services firm.
Yeah.
And I did that all the way to 2008, living on 100% commission. And then you know what happened in 2008?
Yeah.
That's when the financial crash all happened.
Yeah. So the world turned upside down.
Completely upside down. So all of my clients all dried up at about $300 to my name. And then the girl I was going out with for about 3 months tells me that she's pregnant with my son. Mm. It's like, oh, great. Yeah, and we tried to make it work for a few years, and it just wasn't working because I still had that ambition. After I found out I was going to be a dad, I said, man, I got to go and do something. I got to go and get one of those JOBs, a just over broke.
Oh, my God.
That everybody said not to get.
My stomach hurts when you say that word. Ah.
So only you and I will probably understand that, and entrepreneurs will understand, like, when you take that dive and go get a job, that's like the worst. You feel like that's the thing that you didn't want to do, and that's failure. 100%.
And there's no learning from that failure. That's just failure. That's saying, you know what, fuck, I'm done, I'm giving up.
That's it. Yep. 100%.
And there is people that go and do that. I've met plenty of ex-business owners, ex-entrepreneurs, right?
Yep.
They're ex. And then they say, oh, I'm happier just having a job. And then running a business and dealing with all the problems. And I'm like, well, you just weren't cut out for it.
That's because it. Yeah. And especially if it's not itching at them still. Because even when I went and got that JOB, like you said, like I felt so ashamed. I mean, I even stopped talking to our buddy Eric Olson because I was ashamed to even answer his calls because I got that JOB.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't even want to answer. I'm so ashamed and so embarrassed, but I've got to do this because I got a kid on the way and I'm trying to do this thing with his mom and everything too. But that entrepreneurship spirit never left me whatsoever. Yeah. And that's what caused a lot of friction because I wanted more and I wanted to go get more too.
That's
and
right.
She's like, you're okay. Now, I mean, that job was only making 30 grand a year. And then eventually I became good at doing it. It was an internet marketing company doing lead generation.
That's right.
I knew nothing about it whatsoever.
That's what planted the seed.
And it planted the seed.
That's right.
And going that direction, which was wild of how it worked out. But it never left me of being an entrepreneur. I was like, how does this business owner do it that's running this internet marketing company? And we saw all these affiliates that I was managing were sending them $250,000 checks every month. And there's thousands of them. I was like, I don't know what the heck this is, but I need to know that everything there is to know about it. So I just became obsessed about that industry to know everything there was about it. But that entrepreneurship of like wanting more just overcame so much. It didn't work out with my son's mom, but I always use her as an excuse to say, you know what? She's the reason why I can't start a business and go and do something. Now I want doing this internet marketing thing. I want to do this internet marketing thing and start a business, but she's the reason why not. So I use her as an excuse. So once that didn't work out, I was like, okay, there's no more excuses anymore.
What's the excuse now, right? Yeah,
I've got to do it. I've got
to
do it.
Yeah.
So then since that day forward, I started working until 2 a.m. in the morning. I'll get off of work and then I'll come back home 6 o'clock, pick up my son. And then he would go to sleep at 9 p.m. And then from 9 p.m. until 2 a.m. for 3 years straight, I would just continue to work on it, sleep maybe 4 hours a day for 3 years straight, and then go to the gym in the morning and try to still get the fitness in and everything too. Until eventually they fired me and said, like, this guy really isn't focused anymore.
Right.
It's like, shoot.
Well, you're focused on building your own company now.
I was trying to build it, trying to figure out how do you form an LLC? How do you form a corporation and all of this? How do you build a website? Teaching myself how to build a website, teaching myself how to build logos and designs and all this different stuff. But it wasn't making very much money yet.
Yeah, yet.
So once I got fired, then I said, all right, I got to go all in on this. And I was in my early 30s at that time. And that's when I started Ad Here and said, all right, this is it.
That's when you jumped off the cliff.
And God works in mysterious ways because I needed that. I needed the rug to be pulled from me. I needed to get fired because if I didn't, then I would have still hung on to that comfort where eventually there I was making six figures and I was like living an okay, comfy, I could pay bills now and such too. But then once that rug got pulled out from under me, I said, all right, I got to let my house go. Talk to my parents and say, hey, I know I'm in my early 30s and I got my kid too. Is it okay if we move in with you? I'm trying to build this business. And it'll only be maybe a year or so that I'll be moved in. And I moved back into my parents' house in my early 30s on the east side of San Jose with the kid in my old bedroom with my old bedroom posters still on the wall and everything too. And I was just inside the room just working 7 days a week. And then I would hang out with my son. We didn't have any money, so we'd come take the bus downtown and do stuff around. We'd do various different things just so that make sure that I always spent time with them and did that time still and tried to still run the business at the same time, but still was sleeping maybe like 5 hours a night during that time and just kept on doing it. But I loved it. My parents didn't know what the heck was going on in that room. I think my mom thought I was like some broke, unemployed kid, because one day she came in, she goes, hey, you know what? I could get you a job over at my work, and if you give me your resume, I was like, I told you I'm building a business, and I'm trying to build a business. Like, why would I want to go and get a job from there?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people don't understand, especially if you're the first one in your family to be an entrepreneur.
That's right.
And me, I'm a first one, first generation entrepreneur.
Yep, me
Nobody in my family's ever started businesses before, so they don't understand. Even to this day, they don't really understand what goes on. They just know, like, they come over to a big house and they have a barbecue. And
they see all the fruits of the labor, right?
That's right.
They don't understand what it takes, the pain, the struggles, real. Everyone always sees the highlights, right?
That's right.
They see the fancy cars. They see the big house. They see all the, all the glitz and glamour. But, and it also depends on what you want to show. I mean, there's people that I know that have hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're very... You'd be like, man, did you live in this?
Especially here in Silicon Valley.
Oh, yeah.
Especially here in Silicon Valley.
What? I mean, it's like, and yet they own hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of companies. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we're very blessed to be where we're at. We've been blessed by having the people that have come into our lives and have poured into us. And have awakened our spirits to do the things that we're at. I mean, again, 2008 was a very pivotal point in me. I was in the peak of my nightlife career. I mean, I had the baddest nightclub in San Jose and Silicon Valley. I mean, it was the glitz, the glamour, the toys. I mean, I was living life. There was nothing that there was nothing could hold me back. Nothing could stop me.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't have was the discipline. And the knowledge of what happens when the rug gets pulled out of you. I got rid of everything. Everything that was material didn't matter to me, right? Release it all. Just take it off, right? I didn't want to carry that shit with me anymore, because now what I had to do is I had to prepare myself and I had to pack light for battle.
That's right.
Because now, now I'm in the survival. Now I'm in the wilderness, right? They always say it's easy to get in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get out.
Yes.
Right? Because you gotta figure out, you gotta survive. So for me, it was then survival mode, and then trying to figure out, fuck, what do I do next?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows, right? Nobody has to know that everyone thought Mauricio, oh man, partly of why I wrote Smoke and Mirrors was because everyone had this illusion that Mauricio the Great, fuck, and my guys in LA, like When I lost my company, that was the first time that I had any regret that I didn't finish college. I dropped out on the fourth year at San Jose State, my year to graduate, and I drop out just because I was like, I made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
I committed to my decision, and I executed it, and I said, I'm done. And I want to go build my career and my life. I knew I wanted to be a nightclub operator, owner, concert promoter. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I already had that spirit in me. But I knew that that's what I wanted, and that no school, no paper was going to give me that.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it. I jumped off the cliff. I said, I'm going. I'm all in. Boom. And I remember that in 2008, and when the world turned upside down, I was like, oh, shit. I got to get one of those things, right? I'm like, I can't even say it. I got to get one of those things, right? And I remember... I said, okay, well, let me try to get one of those things. And I came in. I had experience. The opportunity they were giving, I qualified beyond. And because I didn't have that paper, that certificate, I got, hey, man, you need to have a bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but, dude, look at my history. Yeah, man, it's not going to happen. That was probably one of the most – that was the best thing that happened to me, because it reminded me again –
mm-hmm.
who Mauricio Mejia was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what, that just reawoke that beast in me. I'm never going to go down that road. And in my life, I've only had two jobs in my life, and each jobs lasted 30 days apiece. On one of them, I didn't even pick up the check. I didn't even care. I just like, it's small money. Not that I don't disrespect any money, but it just, in my mindset at that time, I was like, no. And I remember that when that happened, it just, all it did was just reawaken that giant, that young Mauricio growing up in the streets,
mm-hmm.
and saying, nah, man, You got a bigger purpose.
That's right.
And I remember I sat down in a 10x10 room. I ended up moving back to my sister's house in LA. My sister, I'm going to my younger sister, and I'm saying, hey, sis, can you let me stay at your house while I figure shit out? She's like, yeah, you can take one of the rooms, blah, blah, blah. She lived in a 5-bedroom, beautiful home, just well. And I remember I went back to basics. I put a whiteboard up on my wall, and I wrote my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history.
How you just explained that right now, you're so clear that I think everybody needs an enemy in their life.
Yeah.
That's one of your enemies where, like, you look back at that and the way that you explain that too, of like the enemy is the person who thinks that you have to have a degree and you have to have this piece of paper. Like, you're still to this day proving them wrong to say, like, I don't have that paper, but I'm going to outrun you. I'm going to outwork you. Yeah. I'm going to make sure I build a bigger company than anybody else with that piece of paper. And that was part of my journey too, is like what really sparked it when I was getting a little comfortable at that job was when I knew I made up 60% of that company's profits. And I knew that I made up 60% of that company's profits. And then when it came time for a promotion, all these other guys from Stanford and Syracuse were all getting promotions. They didn't make up 60% of that company's profits, but I did.
Right.
I got passed up for that promotion. So I said, you know what? That was a good wake up call to say, if I'm going to do what I want to do and be at the top, I got to go and take it. Nobody's going to give it to me. I've got to go and take it. And now I feel like, you know what? I didn't go and graduate college for a reason. So that way someone can look at me and have no excuse to say, that guy didn't graduate college. He dropped out of college. Like, he was a single dad. And they could even be inspired to say, if this freaking guy can do it, then why not me?
Yeah.
Why not me?
And that's the same thing. So I've used that as my rocket fuel, right? Mm-hmm. It's like growing up in the streets. I have all the different struggles. And what I don't do is I don't live in that.
That's right.
I don't allow it to victimize my mindset. What I allow it to do is to fuel my mindset and to give me that energy that I need in order to keep catapulting forward. And it's not over. And the times that I have caught myself slipping, like where I've gotten comfortable, that's when I make the mistakes, right? Because I don't have my edge. I don't have the reminders. And then that's when I need when the coaching or the mentoring really needs, I mean, it's like you're starting from scratch, right? When you, like, again, 5 months ago, my body didn't look this way. I mean, I own my own gym, right? That what a travesty that is, that I'm a little fat boy walking around. Doesn't help that I'm short, and then I'm like walking around thinking that I'm looking cool until somebody shows me a picture of what you look like, and I was like, damn, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
I look so old. I looked fucking swollen. I can tell that my mind was just not in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not in the right place. So once I checked myself and I got checked, and I had continuous, I get checked, it allows me to hold myself accountable, knowing that as I'm doing this, it's only making me better. On top of that is being around the people that I'm around now. They've noticed and I can see that that's motivated them now to start taking care of themselves a little bit more too, and so forth. So it becomes contagious, right? Again, we become who we surround ourselves with.
That's right.
One of the things that again I've always admired your willingness and openness to share the story. Your life, and then at the same time, one of the things that I've noticed and I've seen is when you're with your son, you and your son have such an amazing relationship. That kid he's such a beautiful human being.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you deal with making sure that he understands that he has to have the work ethic too, that it's not just going to be given down to him, because that can also become, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yep.
So have you seen that you've had to do some balancing on that as well? Because even though you don't want anyone to grow up the way that we have, how do you manage that?
To be honest with you, somebody had asked me a question of like, what's some of the fears? Like, it seems like you're so confident and you're so sure of yourself, but I'm sure you have some kind of fear. And I said, you know what? If I were to name one fear, it's the fear that I might be giving my kids too much and I might be giving my son a little bit too much, because we all want to give our inner child everything that our inner child didn't have.
Ooh.
So that's why we've worked. And that's why I've worked so hard. Everything in my life, including you being here right now in front of me, is because my son was born. Yeah. Because it moved me in that direction. When I look back of like, thank goodness I met that woman that I only knew for 3 months and she gave birth to my kid, because it pointed me in a direction of an internet marketing company, and then me starting an internet marketing company, and then growing an internet marketing company that has changed so many thousands and millions of lives in doing it, all because of that one decision that I thought, man, why is this happening to me? But it was actually happening for me. So when I look at my son, it's almost as if like God has been speaking to me through him to say, you're on the right path. And in those points when I was living with my parents and I was there at rock bottom, even went on food stamps because my parents don't have a whole bunch of money either, so they weren't able to provide me with a whole bunch of money. So I went on food stamps while I was there and to get benefits for my son so he could still have health care. So I went and got food stamps in that way. But when I was at rock bottom there, I always looked at him to say, man, this kid was born for a reason to point me in this direction. Yeah. At those times when I wanted to give up and I said, man, it was so challenging, I looked at him and I said, this kid was born for a reason to point me in this direction. So now that we're no longer on food stamps, we no longer live with my parents. I mean, we lived in the high rise together previously before too. Then I moved over to the penthouse across the way in downtown too. And
beautiful view, by the way. I love that place. That was beautiful.
It was hard to give up, but you got to give up good to go to great too. Ooh. And I got to thank my wife because I was like, man, this has been a dream of mine. When I was living with my parents, broke and on food stamps, I'd wake up every single morning. I would say, I live in a downtown high rise overlooking the entire city. And every single night before I go to sleep, I would say it out loud and I would write it down for about 3 years straight. I would say, I live in a downtown high rise overlooking the entire city for 3 years straight, every single morning and every single night, until it became true. And I put Zillow alerts on the downtown high rise that you live in. Mm-hmm. And I have glass windows. I wouldn't even talk to a real estate agent to have them walk me through, even when I was broken on food stamps. Yeah. But I was acting like,
You got to visualize it.
And I saw it until eventually it became a reality. And the business started making enough money where I could live on that down in that downtown high rise overlooking the entire city with the glass windows and everything. That's then we upgraded to the penthouse too as well with a huge balcony and everything. And I thought, man, this is my dream come true.
That was a party house, a party place, man.
It was amazing. Like, and we got the fire pit and everything, too, that was out there.
You were really seeing Silicon Valley from there, man. It was beautiful. I loved it.
We saw all the private jets would fly in all the time, too. Yep. I have the cigar there on the patio. Yep. I was like, man, this is made. And then my wife comes in and she goes, I think it's time that we go and get a real house now.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? This was my dream. Yeah. This was my dream. She's like, you always talk about going from good to great. Woo. It's time to start going to great. So we need to start looking for
good for
a house.
Her, man. Good for her.
I owe so much to her. She has dragged me out of so many different ways of me just being comfortable with where we're at. She's always got a next level in her mind. Just when I think like, man, I gave her the absolute ultimate gift you could possibly think of. She always tells me, oh, there's another level too. There's always another level, and I'm so grateful for her because she stretches my mind into going to the different level from it too. So we moved into the country club and like on the golf course and all that good stuff too, huge house and everything. But that was all because of her dragging us from there to there. So it's interesting. It's like now being a different environment. When I come back to downtown where I used to live, I'm like, shoot, I can't believe that we used to live like this. Like there's homeless people here and it's a little bit crazy and a little bit loud and everything, because I'm used to at the country club. It's peace and quiet. You hear just birds chirping in the green
that's
mountains.
What I don't want. I like that controlled chaos, man. I love hearing the I love hearing the crazy guy that like, hey, what the?
The
like,
fire truck at 2 a.m. in the morning.
The trash can. I love when the trash guy comes in at like 5 o'clock in the morning and I hear, I'm like, really, these guys got to be doing it? But, you know, I'm so high enough that I can barely, but I can still. But interestingly, that when you say that, I know that feeling because I know what it was like not too long ago, right? Even though it feels 7 years, 8 years ago, or even with pre-COVID, right? Or during COVID, to think that I'm in a beautiful place, this is uncertain now because I'm not enjoying it because right now we don't know, the uncertainty is eating us up. And I'm like, is this going to last forever? Am I going to go back to where I came from? And that enemy right there, it's like the fire that just says, no, you're not.
Yep.
Right now, currently, I'm there's some in the business, in all the different multiple businesses that I have right now. There's a few of them that are doing very well, and they're my long game ones. And then there's the ones that, you know, you have to manage and tweak and do this, and if you don't, they can spiral, and those mm-hmm. are the ones that can take you out. There's moments where I'm just like, oh hell no. No, no, mm-hmm. no. I'm gonna grab you by the horns and I'm gonna drive you. You're not gonna drive me. So my relationship with business, impeccable.
That's right.
My relationship in my personal life, I need to work on that. And that's where I hope that, again, having these types of conversations and being able to now see and call it out and want it, that eventually will come to me, because
absolutely.
I feel that with a powerful teammate
mm-hmm.
or a person that has vision and shares values and does that, I think that, man, there's no limit.
No limit whatsoever.
There's no limit.
There's no limit. Yeah. 100%. And exactly what you said, too, is like there's always that fear that you don't want to go back to right. where you were previously before. And rock bottom is a great place, and people waste rock bottom. And I'm yeah. so glad that I hit rock bottom.
I actually like rock bottom. I like it because once you hit, there's only way one direction. And that's
right.
And if you know how to utilize that, and if you've been before at the top or whatever version of what the top is, mm-hmm. right? Because there is no finished top. There, to me, it's a forever moving up.
Yep.
So it's just different levels of the game. And there's different rock bottoms.
And
so,
as an entrepreneur, especially a first-generation entrepreneur, you almost have to hit that rock bottom so you respect a penny. Woo. And if you don't respect a penny, then you're never going to earn a dollar. If you don't respect a dollar, you're never going to earn the $100. And if you don't respect $100, you're never going to respect the thousands and the millions and the tens of millions and the hundreds of millions. You got to respect it at every single level. And sometimes I'm so glad that I was on food stamps, because I respect that penny.
Yes.
That penny went a long way, and that dollar went a long way, and multiple dollars went a long way. So I know the power of that, because otherwise, if I wouldn't have, I probably would have spent all the money that came in and be like, I'm going to buy this and everything that I never had, and then went broke and went completely dead on there. And something that, you know, as you were talking there, is that I never want to go backwards, and I keep something as a reminder in my wallet. Right behind my debit card mm-hmm. is my food stamp card.
Woo!
To make sure, like, hey, every time I grab my debit card, I say, hey, you can.
I'm going to pull out my wallet.
It's not very far.
I'm becoming more aware of the things and of the people that I want to be around
mm-hmm.
and that I allow to be around. Because before, like you said earlier, chasing the business or chasing that, we're not out to chase the business. It's coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
The people are coming to us, the opportunities. You're here because what? Again, we have a friendship. We have there's commonality in our backgrounds, and we want to share it and hope that we
inspire others
right. that if we can do it, they can do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And even bigger, the fact that we're Latinos.
That's right.
Right,
yep.
Latinos, and we can go and inspire other Latinos that are always like, oh, they're not gonna pick me because of the color mm-hmm. of my skin or because. No, motherfucker, they're not going to pick you because the way you act. You got to change your mindset. And I understand it now a lot. And again, I understand it a lot now more as I've gotten older, because we've become wiser. We've gone through the tribulations, the trials and tribulations of life, and we'll continue. But man, it starts with us.
It starts with us.
Yeah,
and we're the ones that have to be that change. It's an interesting story, as like when we moved into the country club, we're doing a whole bunch of work on the house and everything. So we hired a lot of people to come in and paint, redo the carpet and everything. So before we moved in, they were all working on that. So my wife and I go like, oh, let's go check on the house to see how it's going. So we go and we open the door, and then the guy goes, oh, no, senor, no work today. Like, you're not supposed to be working today. He thought we were one of the workers that were coming in. Because like, oh, there's a Mexican couple that's coming in.
Yeah.
Of course they don't live here in the country club in this big old house or anything like that. I said, oh, no, we own the house. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that you guys own it. So like, all of a sudden his mind shifted. And every time we see some DoorDash people that come in, they're Hispanic or they're Mexican, they're like, they'll come and look. And then we answer the door and they look at us like,
Then you got to hit him up in Spanish. Sí, sí.
Right.
Huh? Sí, right. Hablo español. ¿Qué pasó? A ver, dime.
And that's it. And we're put there to change environments. Yes. We're there to change environments. So it doesn't become so abnormal to have a Latino that comes into the country club or Latino that's sitting front row over the Golden State Warriors game or Latino to be the Golden State Warriors
owner.
I still
need to go with you to a game, man. Next time, let me know. I want to be sitting in the front row, too.
We do. We do.
I could. I just don't know who or what has those tickets because I don't know who has the access, but I would love to go.
Well, now you know who.
I'm going.
And it's crazy being in those environments. Literally, my wife and I were talking about this, and we made friends with everybody who's there, all the owners that are there too. My wife is great at making friends somehow in some
social
way.
Social butterfly, man. She is definitely.
And that's where the power partner comes in.
That's
to
right.
give you the vision of like my life has expanded because of her, of like just the people she has attracted and the connections she's made with. Like we sit at the Warriors game, and we know all the owners. They're like, oh my gosh, Julie Rubin.
Yeah.
Good to see you guys again. I'm so glad you're here. And then we're thinking more and more, like, we're the only ones on this row that are not billionaires yet. And we're thinking and expanding our mind of like, this is cool, like running a business and everything like that. But you know where the real money is. Everybody's a VC here in this row sitting on. That's where the real money is. That's playing at a different level and at a different game.
That's right.
So now my vision is a little bit different. The 10-year vision that we have and the 5-year vision that we have, it's a little bit different than just running a business.
Right.
It's great and it's fun running a business. I'm the only person that's running it, the whole deal. We have great employees, 25 team members. But going back to what you said, you got to have a big vision for your life. And when you have a big vision for your life, you're going to be motivated every single day. But that big vision has to go beyond just your life.
That's right.
It has to be about other people.
Yeah.
So once it became from just me to now I'll do more for others than I would do for myself, I started thinking of my team members. I started thinking about their families. And every day I think about them and I think about their families and how their families would be affected if I do one wrong thing or if I hang around the wrong person or if my character is tainted in any way somehow. So everything I do seven days a week is all affecting their families. So when I think of it like that, I'm not going to be partying. I'm not going to be doing the stupid stuff. I'm not going to be over here hanging out outside of my wife
that's
or
so
anything
much fun
like that.
Though, man.
and it's even more fun, though, hanging out with billionaires at Warriors games in the front row.
That's right.
And hanging out with huge pastors that are pastoring over 30,000 people in congregation and getting mentorship from them and hanging out over at various different events where we met amazing people that are 4-generation billionaires that are there too.
Wow.
That stuff's fun.
Wow.
I'd rather do that.
I've met first-generation billionaires. I haven't met fourth-generation. That's
It's stuff like that. Founder of the internet, meeting people like that. The people that went from $1 million to $5 billion within a span of 5 years.
Yeah. And that's all possible. I want to go into that. I want to dive into that thought process because I've seen and tasted almost, right, when we, Latin Life, January, February of 2020, my partner, Eric Osuna, did you ever meet
him?
They were doing they did all the forms. We had Dave Martinez, they had done all the forms to go public, and we were supposed to go public in June, July of 2020, and March, the company, the world shuts down. So there is no billion-dollar dream because they were projecting that we would have scaled exponentially in the world, and maybe there was a reason for all that. Maybe we weren't.
There always is.
We weren't ready for it.
There always is. Maybe it would have destroyed you, quite possibly too. Maybe it was too much all at one time.
All at once.
Or maybe you're built for something even bigger than just $1 billion.
Thank you. Amen. I love that. That thinking. Yes. And so going to your point, in the last 3 years, let's say, since COVID, right? And then the world started turning around. And then when I founded my next company, I fell under the mentorship of 4 great titans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm following their path that you're right. Exponential growth is there. All it takes is one deal.
That's it.
One deal in the world, in the universe that we're in. And you can go from 1 million, 2 million, 20 million, 100 million to a billion. And then from there, if you get to those levels of life, there is no limit. If you know, if you've done it once and you have that roadmap and you haven't burned your relationships, you've taken care of who you are as a person, as a human, as your body too.
Yeah,
that's why I'm so thankful of the fact that I've transformed myself, but not by myself, to who I am and who I'm going to become. One of my goals, and the goal is on my birthday, I turned 48 this year, is to really be so shredded, to be at such a peak state body-wise. And at the same time, as I've been doing that, and I know that you probably experienced this, mm-hmm. is that as your body transforms, your mind,
oh yeah,
it's on a whole different frequency.
Oh yeah. The outside is just a reflection of the inside. Woo! That's all it is. That's all it is. So
that's a highlight there, by the way, producer. The outside is only a reflection
of the inside.
Of the inside.
It really is. So when I see somebody that's sick all the time, I know there's thoughts that are going through their mind, that's sick thoughts, that are like thinking of like, I'm always sick. Something always happens to me. Somebody who's always getting into accidents, something always bad's happening to them.
Sure.
There's a certain way that they're talking to themselves every single day. Because on the outside, it may seem like they talk to you in a certain way, but on the inside, what they're speaking about, it's reflecting on the outside because they're sick all the time. Something bad always happens, or in some kind of challenge all the time, because the way that they're speaking to themselves every single day. So going back to mental toughness, that's really where it comes in, to be mentally tough, to speak to yourself and speak life to yourself. Because I was actually telling my team this morning, that whatever you communicate with,
I just felt it right now. I was like, damn. I'm like, and I say that, Ruben, oh my God, mm-hmm. I felt it right now, because I've been talking to myself. Crazy, mm-hmm. right? We're talking to ourselves. No, I've had to feed myself, and I had to take myself back to a certain peak state. I was at the Dallas event, and I got to meet David Goggins and Mark Cuban. You got a billionaire, and then you got a multi-billionaire now, because he sold the team, and it was already worth $1 billion, but now it's worth 3-4 billion because, and the investments that he's made. And with David Goggins, when he spoke and I got to see him, I was like, dude, this guy was like right here, and I could just feel the dude's energy. And for him to share his body, how destroyed his body is, but yet he got up like a beast. That energy, man, that is just unexplainable, man.
It gives you no excuse.
It gives
you no excuse.
So going back to it, it then reminded me of there is no excuse. You got to keep going. You got to go. It's just like, so I started talking to myself. That's going back to my point. Talking to myself, and started refeeding myself, because there was a voice two weeks ago. There's something that just creeped in. And there was a moment just maybe where I had a moment of myself, right? A pity moment or something that I might have done that I was disappointed in myself. And then all of a sudden that little voice creeped in and he starts talking in my head about fucking
me.
Yeah. And next thing I know, I'm like, no. And then finally I was like, no, I'm done. Like you're getting out of that fear.
Yep.
Is going to get out of my head, because I know who I am, and I know where I've been, and I know what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to, again, I have to eat my own words. I have to decide, commit, and execute. Redecide, recommit, and re-execute so that I can move forward.
Because
sometimes we get stuck, and we get stuck in our head.
That's right.
And our head can become our worst enemy.
And all of us do, because it's in those silent moments when we're by ourselves and we're just with ourselves, and our mind starts going crazy, and it starts going of like, what makes me think that I'm going to be a multi-billionaire? What makes me think that I'm going to create something different too? And that's when the enemy starts attacking it.
Yes.
The more that you communicate with the enemy, the more that the negativity will continue to creep into your mind.
Yeah.
But if you communicate with the positivity and communicate more in a positive direction, then there's more positivity that comes into your mind. It's easier said than done. But you got to have triggers that snap you out of it to say, oh, I'm doing it again.
Yeah.
I'm going and listening to what the enemy's telling me in my mind. Yeah. I got to go back to my principles of like, who am I? I am strong. I'm great. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I know that there's greater in life for me, that this is not the end, that this is just the beginning. Yeah. You start working yourself up to the end of like, screw that. Yeah. Why was I even thinking that way?
You quiet all that noise, that crazy noise. And it's crazy you say that, because when I feel that I'm off center or out of line and I have to realign myself, I go back to, I have a routine every morning. Like literally, I got a crazy routine.
And you like waking up earlier, because you know that not many people are going to be waking up that early either.
That's right.
So you're doing what other people aren't going to do. And this is what I tell my friends all the time, because they sometimes we'll go on trips and like, ah, man, I feel like maybe we shouldn't be staying at this luxury hotel, or we shouldn't be like celebrating and having these amazing dinners and everything too. I said, you know what? You got to give yourself credit because you were willing to do what other people weren't willing to do, which means that you should have what other people will not have.
That's right.
Because most people are not willing to do the things that you've done. Most people are not willing to build a business and go on food stamps and move back in with their parents, move in with their sister and sleep in their car. Most people are not willing to do that because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's even embarrassing to talk about.
Humiliation is that just rocket fuel for me. I will not allow myself to be humiliated. Mm-hmm. I will not allow someone's opinion or thought of me affect me. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what I've done.
Exactly.
And you will not do the things that it takes to get to where I'm at. Now, I don't know who the other person is, and I don't know if, hey, you might be on your own journey, but God knows where I'm at and where I'm going and what I'm trying to do.
That's right.
And knows that my heart of hearts is to make an impact and be an inspiration to our community, to all communities, right? I've been saying this a lot lately, that I want to make an impact on all people.
Yep.
I don't care what color, what gender, what you are, as long as you're human and you have a pulse and you're kind. Mm-hmm. And if you're an asshole or mean, I hope that I can affect you and instill some light into you. But even more, to help elevate the Latino community.
That's right. Because that
to me is important. And if we can help our community rise, then we'll have a better outlook. Because look at where we're at, right? California, I mean, West Coast, there's more Latino population here than any other population. And why not be the positive and the change instead of continuing and perpetuating shit that just...
Exactly.
That becomes toxicity to the mind and to the body and to the soul and... That's a whole other world, man.
In my journey, when I was stuck at like $1 million, $2 million, I realized that you got to have a bigger why behind just you. Because in the beginning, it was just me trying to survive. I wanted to move out of my parents' house and move my son into a decent place. Like, it was just for me.
Yeah.
But then once it turned from just me to we and to everybody else, us, and now it's bigger, team, and now it's us,
everything, yes,
team, and we. Yes. So I say we a lot because we're doing it for us. It's right. Not just me anymore. Once it started becoming about everybody else instead of just me, all of a sudden I started seeing the business take off and now contributing to my community and continuing to give to the community. I don't say give back because that means that I've taken something away.
Ooh.
So in reality, it's giving to the community.
I like that.
And every time I give to the community, I get 10 times more
give
in return.
Back. I think that it's used out of context, right? Mm-hmm. You're giving back. You're like, whoa.
That means you took something.
Wow. Wow. Well,
what did you take then? But the reality is, I'm just giving.
I'm just giving for it. I've learned something new today. Ruben, thank you, brother. That is insurmountably amazing to just what I just learned right now, because it's true. Words are powerful.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Words are powerful.
Every single piece, even when you say it jokingly, it's powerful over your life. You speak positivity over your life, you're going to get more positivity. Yeah. You speak negativity, even if it's joking, you'll get negative in your life there. And it's the power of our words. And in the Bible, it says the power of life and death is in the tongue. What it talks about is that, like, our words are powerful, and the things that we say are powerful, not only to the other person, but also to ourselves. So everything that we say is all coming back to us like a boomerang effect. So you might as well say the good stuff too. Is Mauricio, you're going to be a multi-billionaire, because if you're a multi-billionaire, then I'm a multi-billionaire.
You are
too.
You're going to be a billionaire too, bro. Multi-billionaire. We're going to be part of the billionaires club,
that's right,
bro.
And what's interesting is, like, the higher that we climb, the more critics start to creep in.
Yes.
But critics, and people will never criticize you if they're doing more than you.
Right.
So you'll never be criticized by somebody who's doing more than you, only someone that's doing less than you.
Yes.
And it's always happens like that. You always got the people who are going to criticize you of, like, oh, you've changed, Mauricio. You're not the same person that you were 5 years ago.
You're right.
Of course I changed. Yes. It's just you that didn't change. That's the challenge, is that you didn't change. So I'm so grateful. Yes. The circle becomes smaller and smaller of my associations, because we're always trying to grow together. And some people, they don't make it because they are okay with just managing what they got. Like, they're good.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Unfortunately, the kingdom's not finished yet. So I'm out there to build a kingdom of making sure that we prosper and all of us prosper together, and changing our environments to make sure, hey, there's a Latino that's going to be owning the Golden State Warriors. That's it's not right. just going to be that group. There's yeah. somebody who's going to be doing and changing environments every time that we walk into a room. And that's our whole entire goal and our whole entire yeah. mission is to make sure that we change the way that people look at Latinos in the future and yeah. now. And it's up to us to do that every single day. Yeah. So my mission is just to inspire others to elevate their lives because I can't just do it by myself. Yeah. We've got to have a team of people and everybody. What does team stand for? Together, everyone achieves more. Woo. And that's the whole entire goal. Yeah. There's only so much you could do by yourself.
Amen. I
but
agree.
You got to have a whole entire team that does it together. Yeah. And everybody's got gifts that yeah. can play off of each other. And that's the best thing is that I don't know it all, but yet I have a team that does know it all yeah. over there on that side. And we've got team members that have specific gifts and unique gifts because we have a unique thumbprint on every single one of us. So as long as we operate in our gifts and we speak those gifts over each person that we come into, mm-hmm. this world would be a much better place, a yeah. much better place.
I'm in agreement with you. We've been talking and there's certain things that I've been catching in our conversation. And it seems that faith is a big play in the way you communicate and I'm going to even say that in your decision-making process, mm-hmm. faith is a big thing. Now, faith is a very big thing for me, and I feel that as I've gotten wiser, right, and with the experiences that I've had, then my faith has only become stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I've learned over time is that if you don't stand for something, then you'll fall for anything. Oof. So what does the Resendez family stand for? The Resendez family's core values are the five Fs, faith, family, finances, fitness, and fun. And we practice those every single day in that order. So first thing that I do when I wake up after using the restroom, of course, is pray to God saying like, hey, thank you. Thank you for allowing me another day. Thank you for the family that I have. Thank you for the house I get to live in. And once we start living with gratitude and live in so much thankfulness yes. that like, thank you for the smallest of things. Yeah. There's so much power that comes with that, that like all those challenges that we think of that are so complex and we let the enemy start to mess with our mind about, they all go away because we live in gratitude and we yes. live in that thankfulness. So I've seen so much, Mauricio, that I cannot deny that God is real and that yeah. faith is a powerful concept and a powerful skill and a powerful tool that if everybody utilized their faith in that huge way, they would be living in a kingdom mindset. They would yeah. be living in a huge kingdom because heaven should be lived here on earth. Heaven isn't a place that you go to. Right. It's here on earth. Wow. And you could live in it and everybody could live in it. But the challenge is most people don't have that faith to actually say, what is faith? Knowing that the next step is going to show up even when you don't even know if the yep. next step is going to show up or not. But you got that faith that it is going to show up. And especially being an entrepreneur,
yeah,
you don't know what happens tomorrow. No. You don't know what's going to happen, but you got to have that faith that tomorrow is going to be even better than right. it was today. Oh, and when you man. Have that faith, guess what?
You just turned my stomach. Yeah, because it's true.
Tomorrow will be better That's than it right. was yeah. yesterday. So I feel like entrepreneurship is one of the greatest personal development programs that anybody can get involved with because yeah. you got to have a pretty darn strong faith to be faithful and know that the next step is going to show up even when you don't even know how it's going to show up. But eventually it shows up. You've seen it happen in your life time after time yeah. after time after time again.
Yeah. I want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule and sharing with us, with the world, right? I mean, we know that we're going to have an effect on somebody somewhere in this,
That's
this
right.
listening is going to be impacted by what we've shared. And I think that our intent is to continue to make an impact so that whomever this makes an impact, that they also can something turns on in them and that they can then go repeat it and give it to someone else. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, we're in a crazy time and we're only here once.
That's right. And once is good enough.
And once is
as
good
long
enough,
as you
yes.
do it right. As long yeah. as you do it right, once is good enough right there. And I would say to that person who's yeah. maybe at rock bottom currently right now, yeah. that is currently at rock bottom, that's listening to you and I have both been at rock bottom.
Yes.
At rock bottom, don't waste it because it's a great place to learn from.
Yeah.
And over the next 12 months, your life will be 100% different than it is today in yes. a greater way as long as you stay faithful. You yeah. stay continued that you were put here on earth for a reason,
right.
that you have a destiny that's greater and a purpose yeah. to do something great with your life. And that's the reason why you're listening to Mauricio and I, because
yes.
you have found us for a reason
that's
at
right.
the time and the place that you're at right now. So that way we could tell you that if we can do something with our life,
yeah,
you can do something with your life too. So I think that's the biggest thing that I would love to get out of today.
Yeah, no, and thank you. And you're right. I think two very strong personalities, strong people in business, how bad you want it. And then are you willing to do the work that it takes?
Mm-hmm.
There's people that want to be an entrepreneur, the wantapreneurs. Mm-hmm. And then there's the entrepreneurs that actually really take action and really make things happen.
That's right.
So and again, we're both results of that. We saw life. We grabbed life by the horns. We've taken the opportunities that we have been given.
Mm-hmm.
And you've built an amazing empire, and you're continuing to build. And I definitely look forward to seeing you in the Billionaires Club.
That's right.
And it's right around the corner for all of us. All it takes is one deal. There's only one Silicon Valley in the entire planet, and that's here in San Jose, in the Bay Area. And we are the global tech capital of the world. And
surrounded by amazing people that are like continuing every day to change the world in artificial intelligence and technology and everything that we do on Earth. Facebook was made here, PayPal, like all these various different companies.
Google, and Microsoft, Apple, I mean.
You don't realize what you have until you travel to a different place. We were in Greenville, South Carolina a couple of weeks ago. We're like, okay, what's the major like companies here? You probably have Google here or something too. We're like, oh, we got Michelin here. We're like, oh. Wow. Dang, over here in Silicon Valley, like, I guess we do have some stuff, but like being born and raised in San Jose, like sometimes you just are,
you're
just around it all the time and you get used to it from there. So
it's like,
And I think it comes down to just like anything, just like relationships. As long as you change or treat the relationship like it's new, then it's always going to be fresh and it's always going to be new. Here in the Bay Area in Silicon Valley, I always see something new. Every time I go to San Francisco, I get lost and I'm like, I didn't even know this place even existed. Yeah. This little corner, this little piece of the city or anything like that. Even still here in San Jose, there's restaurants that have been here for years that I still haven't even been to yet. So there's always new to discover. So as long as we treat a relationship as it's new, that relationship is always going to be exciting all the time. And that's the relationship I have with Silicon Valley.
Nice. I'm just as in love with Silicon Valley and San Jose's home for me. And I want to continue to build everything that I'm doing here, build it here, brand it here, and just know that we're making an impact globally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all starting from even in this little room that we're in.
That's right.
Today.
And we're going to remember today too,
on
this date that we're speaking about. Good thing that it's on camera and on voice here.
I love it. Thank you so much again, Ruben. I appreciate the fact that, again, you came out, you made time, took away time from your family and your home and your business to be here. And I'm excited to see our lives continue to progress and to do the things that we're doing. And again, thank you so much, man. Last words, man. What would be something that you would want to share with the world out there? Anything. I mean, whatever's important to you, what would you want to share with the people out there?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to share is have a big why and have a reason why. It's great to be wealthy. It's great to make a whole bunch of money and grow businesses and everything too. But you have to have a greater why. And you have to have a greater why that will make you cry, because all of that stuff is stuff. But guess what? We don't leave this earth with any of that stuff. Right. So you got to think about the legacy that you're going to leave behind. And that's the legacy that you leave on this whole entire earth that will last generations upon generations upon generations. So every day that we operate, we got to think about how are we operating, and are we operating with character? Are we operating with our core values? So I would leave behind the person that's listening right now to say, don't give up. Continue to do what you're doing. Continue to have that dream. There's a reason why that dream is in your mind and you've had those visions and you have spoken it out. Don't be scared to speak it out, because yes, you're going to look a little stupid for a little while as you speak it out. Just like how I looked stupid when I was in my parents' house and on food stamps saying, I live in a downtown high rise overlooking the entire city. Of course, everybody's going to say, why do you think you're going to live in it? You're living in your parents' house on food stamps. Be willing to look stupid for a temporary period of time.
That's right.
Until it becomes a reality, because we need you on this earth. We need you to make an impact on this world. Mauricio and I can't do it just by ourselves.
Right.
We need you to help us do it.
That's
That's what I'll leave it with.
Hey, I'm in agreement with you 100% on everything you just shared. And I just, again, I'm very grateful, thankful, appreciative, everything, all of the above, that you were able to make the time be here. By the way, this is the second time you've been on my show. You were my season two of Mauricio Mejia Live. And when we were doing it
during the pandemic.
During pandemic.
That's
And we did it live.
Yeah.
And it's actually, it's still living, but it was a different time. We didn't get to enjoy the what we have today. I think today we've got to share a special moment. It's a different magic, man.
100%. So. It's crazy to think about that time, too, because it was during the pandemic, and you're like, hey, so how's business going? Like, we're in the thick of it, too.
Yeah,
and I was like, dude, we're growing 60% year over year. You're like, you're the first person I've talked to over this past month that says, like, your business is growing? Like, everybody else's business is, like, dying.
Yeah, I remember you when you said that. I was like, oh, man.
Thank you. And, like, I'm so proud of everything you've accomplished and the perseverance you've displayed and what you've done here. This is just the very beginning for you. So, I'm just appreciative to be part of the journey a little bit.
You are part of the journey, and we're going to share more journeys together and more wins.
That's right.
So anyhow, I want to thank you again. I want to thank everyone that's watching Mauricio Mejia Live Season 3 with my special guest, friend, entrepreneur, Latino. Just we're causing some havoc, Ruben Resendez. Thank you so much, guys, for watching.
Mauricio Mejia Live.